I think it's really around meeting people where they're at and stretching those boundaries a little bit more, challenging them to know that they matter. And so I think that this program is much more than just reading aloud. It goes beyond that. It really encourages conversations. It encourages people to try something new. I think that's what makes us all human and such an important part about the engagement process.
Aloha, and welcome to Imua Literacy, a podcast dedicated to moving Hawaii forward with local literacy solutions. I'm Erin D'Amelio.
And I'm Dr. Esmeralda Carini. And in each episode, we will be addressing perceived obstacles in literacy by thinking through solutions together with our colleagues and friends from all walks of literacy life that are based right here in Hawaii.
Research consistently shows that literacy development in early childhood plays a critical role in later language and academic success. In today's episode, we're going to talk story with some colleagues about our early literacy questions. And maybe they're the same burning questions that you have. Questions like, how do I help my kids learn how to read? Am I doing all the right things to help them become strong readers? Why does reading to my kids even matter in the first place? You know, it's those small questions about literacy. In our episode today, we'll speak to Kara Kusunoki and Nikki Brown from the community organization called Read to Me International. And they'll help us better understand how we can foster developmentally appropriate and fun learning opportunities at home. Read to Me International aims to share the love and joy of reading out loud and envisions that every child will be read to every day. How do they do this?
We provide parent coaching programs to basically help us spread that message throughout the state.
We also have workshops and an annual National Quality Literacy Conference because we know that it's important to be able to provide access and equity.
Read to Me truly serves a range of families with young kids, no matter their background here in Hawaii. And it has many partnerships with other organizations and volunteers across the islands. Ez and I learned a lot from them, and we hope you do too. So let's take a listen. Kara and Nikki, welcome to Imua Literacy. We are so happy to have you here. If you could let us know a little bit about yourselves and what is Read to Me International?
Yes, thank you so much for having us today. So my name is Nikki, and currently, I am the lead facilitator of our Read to Me 10 Minutes a Day program. It is a six-week program where we just teach parents about the different strategies and tips on how to deliver a good read aloud to their keiki at home. I have been in this position for about a year now, but prior to this role, I was actually a parent participant of the program myself. So I was a new mom back in 2017, and, you know, I was just trying to figure out ways on how can I better engage with my daughter at that time. And, you know, prior to being a parent, reading was my thing. I loved it. I do it for fun. So I just thought, oh, naturally, you know, my daughter's going to love reading with me. But I found fairly quickly that she just did not enjoy it. So I didn't know what it was. I don't know if it was just, you know, the way that I was reading or if it was just my voice. But so I had one of my friends mention the Read to Me program to me. And I was just like, all right, let me try it out. And then within just one workshop, I could see the difference. It was like night and day. And that was when I was like convinced. Like, yes, something that they're teaching me is super, super helpful and it's working. So since then, I've been a believer and I absolutely love this program from the bottom of my heart.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kara Kusunoki. I am the executive director of Read to Me International. And, you know, my story about why I came to organization is deeply personal. Growing up, when I started elementary school, I just absolutely hated school. By the time I was in the second grade, I actually got tested for special education because I was not an engaged student. I wasn't getting, I wasn't on proficiency levels at that time. They didn't know what to do with me. So they kind of started to test to evaluate, you know, what my needs were. And one of my teachers tried something different. They started reading aloud, which was not really that common in my house or really before that. And I just was so hooked into reading at that point that she just started supplying me books, giving me books for Christmas. I think that's really where I saw the change happen in my academic career, you know, at that young age, kind of starting to become more interested in reading and using reading as an incentive. So that was really like my first venture into why I believe it's so important to read aloud to kids, because I think that it really changed my life and the path that I was leading. You know that our mission is to share the love and joy of reading aloud. And our vision really is that every day, children will be read to aloud daily because of the change and the impact that we can see, not only academically, but socially and emotionally. When we engage with children through reading and having those conversations, we think that it makes a world of a difference.
So this podcast is a literacy podcast. We really want to hear from you guys as the experts of, you know, how does reading to your child every day increase language and literacy?
Yeah, that's a good question. So with our program, we always like to share the science behind, you know, how our children really learning the language and the words. So basically, yeah, you could come from a six-figure household to a, you know, five-figure household, and it really doesn't matter so long as you're reading every single day.
Yeah, I think one thing that we don't realize is how much vocabulary, you know, that children would absorb when we're reading. Because not only, especially if we're reading nonfiction as well, like you get a lot of content learning and domain-specific vocabulary along with that discussion.
What we focus on in our six-week program is what we term dialogic reading. So it isn't just let's read just for the sake of reading and get through the book. It's really not that. It's the conversations that you're intentionally having around the book that you're reading so that the child is engaged, they're interacting with the text, they can recall what just happened on the previous page, and then also predict what's going to happen. Like, these are the conversations that you're trying to pull from your child as you're doing your read aloud, because that's where the language developing is happening. That's where the new word exposures are being shared. And also, you're just helping to really provide that rich language environment when you start having conversations about what you're reading.
You know, when a child is very young, when they're even in the womb, we encourage people to read aloud to their children because the body's already forming, the brain is already starting to form. And when we're talking about newborns, there's a lot of brain activity, brain cell formulation that's happening at the time. And so surprisingly, and I think this is a little surprising to me because this is still emerging research as we, you know, kind of find out why there's, you know, vocabulary is so important to literacy development, is because as children are developing, the brain synapses are kind of going, right? And there's a lot of activity there. And as you grow older, some of the brain activity starts to stop. So the more that you can cultivate when a child is young and kind of retain that content, the better the child is overall.
Yeah, kids are basically like little sponges. Like, all, like they're just so ready to soak up all of this, all of what's going around them. And vocabulary is definitely one of those things.
By reading aloud to your children, by exposing them to new words and information and really engaging them almost as if they're a little adult, you're really setting them up for success in the future to be able to retain a lot of those connections that are happening. There's just so much that we don't yet know about the brain, but there's enough information at this point to confirm how important it is to read aloud from an early age.
What I wonder, Nikki and Kara, if you see this among some families that may be just starting out on the program, they might not think that because they don't have X, Y, and Z that they can't provide that rich literacy development. What might you say to families with those kinds of concerns?
Yeah, we definitely try to cater our program to making it universal and then also very approachable. We have our read aloud tips, and they're pretty fairly simple for an adult to follow these tips. But all of these tips are brand new things for our children. And so as we read our children's books and we pick out, you know, words that may seem a little big in vocabulary for our kid, we just will always encourage our parents, like, take the time, prepare to read aloud, right? Before you even start, pick a book, kind of go through it yourself, pick out any vocabulary that you know that your child might not know at that moment, and go look it up yourself, you know, go research on what that means, so that if your child comes with you or comes across that word and is like, hey, mom, what does that word mean? How do you say it? Then you're at least prepared as the reader to answer that question when they have that. And then, of course, you know, we always tell our parents who are like, but I don't like reading. Why am I going to go through this? If I don't like reading, then I don't know if my kid's going to like it, hearing it from me. And we always tell them, hey, kids want to be involved with you no matter what the activity is, right? And reading is just a great way to get all of these other benefits. But we tell them, like, our tip number 6, have fun. Even if you need to fake it, just have fun, model the behavior you want to see in your child, and they're going to follow, you know? And as you mentioned earlier, they're sponges. So they're just going to soak in, like, hey, we're having a good time. Look at mom. She's so happy reading to me right now. And so it really is the attitude that we approach the reading with. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, you feel like, I'm not a good reader. It's really the attitude that you bring to the read aloud. You really want to just approach it optimistically. And then before you know it, you're going to start loving to read.
I love it. Fake it till you make it.
Yes, basically.
Nikki, you started answering one of our questions of what are the characteristics of a good read aloud? Because I know, you know, read alouds are also an instructional practice that we do at the school level.
What makes a good read aloud is we always chalk it up to our 16 read aloud tips, right? So long as you're trying to fit in as many of those tips as possible, then you're doing a really great job at delivering that read aloud. So one of the tips, it seems fairly simple, but I know a lot of our parents kind of glaze over this one, but it's tip number 2, where we encourage them to show the cover of the book, read the title, introduce the author and the illustrator. I know a lot of my parents, they just show the book and they read the title and then they start reading. And I'm just like, no, you have to introduce the author and the illustrator, because we just want to model that as something that we do when we pick up a book, you know, because we're not trying to rush. We're really trying to soak in everything that we're looking at and we're reading. So introduce the title, the author, and the illustrator. And then tip number 6, which is be expressive, right? Be expressive as you're reading, have fun, throw yourself into the book, feel every emotion that the book is conveying, because otherwise the children won't know how to react when you're reading.
So I was thinking when you were talking about modeling, like the cover with the author and the illustrator, it's kind of another entry point for the kid to get hooked. Yeah. Because they'll, you know, some of our kids are more artistic and they appreciate that side of the story. And so reading isn't just the words, but it's also the way it's being visually displayed or communicated.
Yeah. And I always remember my mom, when she read to me, she would adopt different voices for different characters. So if there was a grumpy old man, she would make her voice all grumpy. But if there was a little girl, right, like she would change it up. And that just kept me so engaged. And it also,
aww.
I know, right? Like I think about it so fondly. And I feel like that is such an opportunity to keep your kids like just spellbound while you're reading.
Yes. I know one tip in particular that I really loved, and I love to tell my parents this one, is tip number 13, which is to fall in love with the pause.
Okay, tell us about that.
I'm curious.
Yes. All too well, you know, everyone's just trying to get through their reading. And I'm just like, no. Take your time. Fall in love with the pause. Take that moment, because especially with our young children, they need that extra pause to just comprehend what you just said. You know, take it in, really process it. And not only that, but just to take that little moment to let them view what's on the page. There's pictures on there, you know, and they want to look at them. The pictures are telling a different story and maybe even help to deepen the meaning of that story. And so taking that pause to give our children time to really process what's happening, to take in the words that they just heard, and then also give them that space to ask any questions if they have any.
And I think that really speaks to also the enjoyment of reading, which unfortunately a lot of people can't relate to because they see it as the, you know, like I have to read this chapter or I have to respond to this article or something like that. And there's not that experience of just the pure reading for pure enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a wondering of what the feather on the floor is.
Yes, that one is so good. Okay. So tip number 16 is we encourage our parents to not speak when they're done reading the book. We allow for the feather to fall to the floor. So just imagine in your head that there's a legit feather falling to the floor. And I just tell everyone, count to five in your head. Just don't say anything. And then you can close the book. Because a lot of times, as parents, we tend to go, okay, the end, and we close the book. And then it's like, oh, okay, we're done reading. All right, I'm going to go run and play now. But we don't want that to happen. So letting the feather fall to the floor really gives us that time to digest what we just read, field any questions if our keiki have questions after the reading, and then giving them that space that I'm not in a rush. I'm really here for you and for this time to be ours and to really just be here in the moment.
I think it also makes it a little bit more special. There's like a special feeling about it. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good reminder in this day and age where we're moving so fast.
I think if there's one tip or advice that I could give to every single parent in this world, it's to create that reading routine. So setting up the read aloud moment by basically creating that space of where the read alouds would happen in the home, making sure that books are available and in the line of view for our children to reach for them and, you know, interact with them, have books in the play area even so that it's, you know, a normal thing to be viewed as like fun time and I'm reading and I'm having fun. But yeah, just giving that space in that house to let the read alouds happen.
If you're anything like me right now, your head might be spinning with ideas. Wow. Ez and I are so grateful to Nikki and Kara for sharing their insights into how we might support our keiki with their reading at home. Today, we talked about some of the science showing the impact of reading out loud to children, and also how parents and other caregivers can overcome some of their reading hangups by following some simple tips to make reading both fun and educational. And those tips that Nikki shared? Tip number 2, show the book. Tip number 6, be expressive. Tip number 13, fall in love with the pause. I know that one's my favorite. Tip number 16, letting the feather fall to the floor. And finally, to set up a reading routine to make it as easy as sunshine to bring reading into our keiki's lives. To find out more information about Read to Me International's other tips, as well as a curated list of reading resources, you can go check out www.readtomeintl.org Mahalo for listening to Emua Literacy.